This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Been asking for it for a while. Is it finally going to happen? 25% capacity allowed beginning in June at pro sports venues for outdoor stadiums. We've been asking for the roof to open for a while at NRG. Is it finally going to happen? And if I had tickets to a game, John Lopez, and I asked you if you wanted to hit up the Texans game, would you go? Would John Lopez go?
No, I wouldn't go. But that's not to pass judgment on anyone that wants to. You know, I saw this, and I'm just doing what I think is the safest thing until there's a vaccine. You know, until there's a vaccine, I'm going to do me. You want to do you? You go right ahead. I'm not going to pass judgment. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm not going to, you know, raise my eyebrows or roll my eyes. You go ahead. Have a good time. Enjoy it. I'll be watching from home. So no, I will not go. I think it's a good thing, though, overall. You're giving a little bit added revenue. You're not going to, you know, replace it 100%, but you're giving a little bit added revenue to these teams that need it. It's going to help players. You know, there's for revenue-sharing leagues like, all of them, but especially baseball in this point. And you're giving fans who want to go a chance to get in line and go. I'm not going to pass judgment on it. You won't see me there.
Does potential hot weather for the Texans, like let's say week two against Baltimore, let's say we're
September
still pushing 100
there,
degrees. Yeah, let's say September, and we're 104 days away from Texans versus Chiefs. Is hotter weather an advantage for people that are used to it? I've always wondered that because a lot of times the roof is closed and it'll be a team from like – somewhere cold where they're not used to this. You've seen an out-of-towner come to Houston, and they're sweating their ass off. Like they're miserable just walking from the car to the restaurant. Like they can barely breathe. They're upset. Like you're not used to it. But then you see someone here, it's nothing.
Right.
It's absolutely nothing. Do you think it could be an advantage for the Texans?
I absolutely. I think we've all lived it. I think we've all seen people or known people from the north that it takes them a while to get acclimated. You know, living down here, or certainly, you know, the humidity more than anything, humidity more than heat in Houston, it just destroys people. I mean, it just kills people. And then there's the added advantage if you're going to play in an open stadium at NRG, those noon games, that visitor's bench is going to be straight in the sun. I mean, just flat out baking. I absolutely think it's an advantage. If nothing else, mentally, guys are going to be over there during breaks, you know, between plays going, man, this is brutal. You know, it's a mental, kind of a mental hurdle they have to overcome.
There's obviously going to be some L's taken by owners where, I mean, you're going to lose money. And I mean, we are talking about billionaires, but these are their businesses, and this is money that they expect to have. So a lot of people can relate to it. You're going to take some L's. I think you might have to make an even bigger L. I think you got to improve concession prices and stuff like that. Like, I just think that if people are willing to go to the game – and it's not going to happen. Like, let's be honest, there's still going to be $10 beers and all that.
Sure,
but I think that really owners should just realize you're gonna lose some bread. I think you got to lower concession prices. I really do.
It might. I've actually thought of that myself. I wondered if just to show goodwill, whatever you want to call it, just you know, obviously helping people who have had you know their employees have not had you know money. They're losing money. Certainly their fans, their customers have had a hard time. I've thought about that. I think it'd be a really good thing.
And people are asking, and this has been multiple loopholes, 713-572-4610, you know, more than 25% of the seats in the stadium are season ticket holders. How would that work? Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that question.
Drawing, right?
I have no idea the answer to that question. I don't know. I will say, and this sucks, but I would say that the people that pay the most are probably going to get the dibs.
I don't know about that.
You don't?
No.
So you think our diehards? You think our diehards in the upper deck and everything like that, where the rowdy Texans sit? You think that they're going to have a fair shot as well?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lottery type situation. Yeah, and that's only the fair way because those are your customers too, right? The ones in the 600 level with season tickets. Yeah, that'll probably, and they're also going to have to use all three levels. Even though it's only 25% for social distancing purposes, or at least two of them, at least two of the levels.
I also think that by the time football comes around, who knows what could happen? I mean, it is 104 days, so who knows? Maybe, hopefully, we'll get to see some baseball, and they'll have an idea. And you never know what can happen in 3 months. To quote J.J. Watt, that's outside of my pay grade. But there's smarter people trying to figure some stuff out. We're going to get more data. It's going to get hotter. So we'll see what happens, but it'll be interesting to see how the 25% is laid out. But I think from just a perspective of the experience for Texans fans, this is something that the majority, let me be honest. I've never really heard anyone, and we talked to hundreds of Texans fans. I've never heard someone say, I don't want the roof to be opened. It seems like most people that we talk to say on a beautiful day,
yeah,
why the hell is
day.
This not open?
Got to qualify.
Why is this not open?
I've been there when it gets hot on that visitor's side, and it gets a little uncomfortable. But come on, man. I always tell people, you're at an NFL game. Get over it. Those guys are playing in it down there. So, I think you can adjust. They'll have those little misters around, just like the Astros will. And people will just be happy to be there, man. If ever anyone's just happy to be somewhere, it'll be there.
And it seems like Astros fans, while it can be a miserable experience if they do open the juice box, baseball fans just seem more willing to sweat their ass off. Like, they just seem like
true?
They're willing. They seem like when they go out there, they're ready to go. You'll see some baseball fans in wife beaters.
Maybe because you watch more baseball outs. Man, that's not true either. Like in the summertime in the heat. You know, you tend to watch baseball more in the heat is what I was going to say. Is that accurate?
I don't know.
You kind of get used to it?
I don't know about that.
It's kind of a part of the game, so to speak.
I have no idea.
You know, you're watching your kid play in some little league field, put your feet up on the lawn chair.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So you got that wish list. So it looks like we could have an open roof at NRG if they can open it up, which is another conspiracy theory all in itself. Do you have any other things you would like to add to that wish list? Because it looks like you might get that wish. Is there any other stuff that you would like to add to the wish list as far as the NRG experience?
In terms of what they do?
Yes.
Well, parking should be a breeze. They should absolutely, if you're going to social distance inside the stadium, you should be able to allow individual tailgating. Isn't that going to have to be the rule? Like, you're not going to be.
What the hell is individual tailgating?
Like, you come in your truck or your car, you can tailgate. But you can't all of a sudden show up, enough said, and have 75 people there. You know what I mean?
Good luck with that.
I know. It's going to be hard telling them no. but you can literally, you know, lower your tailgate and have your barbecue, you know. But it would have to be just those people in that car. I think that's what's going to have to happen. They're not going to say no to tailgating. But big masses of people intermingling in the parking lot, and then all of a sudden you social distance in the stadium. What good is that? You know? Right?
I guess, man. It's just, I can't imagine it not being rowdy for tailgating at a Texans game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just doesn't, it doesn't seem right.
It doesn't. Well, nothing's going to seem right.
It doesn't seem right. Yeah. Football will seem right, but the 25% and the tailgating and stuff like that. And then we also got to look at it from colleges, because the crazy thing about colleges is I don't know this. Like, I can't measure this. So it's hard for me to just say, I don't want to make like a blanket statement. But I would just say it seems to me,
mm-hmm.
based on my three decades or whatever of watching sports, that the teams that benefit from the most, and I think a lot of times the best teams have the most fans, obviously, in college football, but it seems like the teams that benefit the most are college football teams playing in front of large, packed-ass stadiums, like the 100,000s. Those type of games are where – it seems like the team just thrives off of that atmosphere. if you just cut that by 25%, and let's say you go to Baton Rouge and all of a sudden it's, you know, whatever, 25,000, whatever it is, instead of the 100,000. Mm-hmm. To me, that seems like where you could have the biggest impact as far as the on-field product. And let's be honest, some of these schools, I'm not going to name you by name because I don't want to piss off college football fans. I'm just not feeling like getting that smoke right now. Some fans don't play. They don't fill their stadiums. Yeah. Like, you don't fill your stadiums, and sometimes it seems like it's almost 25% anyways. So you're going to have that 25% spread outs. What about the notion that college football is where this could impact the on-field product the most?
100%. We haven't even talked about it that much.
And you know what? Texas plays LSU week 2, baby. In Baton Rouge, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, it'll look like
a home game. Baby.
It'll look like a home game. Okay, so look, you and I love college football, and we haven't really talked about it a lot. These are also 18 and 19-year-olds. They're going to be more emotional. They're going to play off their emotions more. They, you know, the pageantry, as people like to call it, is what college football gets a lot of players going, and it's what college football is all about. No, I think it's going to really impact. I said this last week, and I really do believe it, as much as we both love college football, empty stadiums and college football is going to show you how average the product on the field really is.
You mean basketball or football?
I said basketball, more so in basketball. But and in the big Power Five conferences, it's a high level of good football. Don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of college football you turn on Saturday that if it wasn't for the noise or the stakes and the environment, you'd be like, wow, these guys are not playing.
And I also think, and I don't, I've had friends who've played college football at a high level. I also think it's going to be easier for freshmen to play. I know that the off season doesn't mm-hmm. but that dude, it's a nervous experience for a lot of freshmen when they're in front of those rowdy
ass.
Now
they can just go
100,000.
Be like
now
a scrimmage.
Now you go out there to LSU, you got 25,000 people. If you went from Texas to LSU as a lot of people did, you played in front of bigger crowds in high school than this 25,000.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go out there and just do your thing. So we'll see. There's going to be a lot to see, but the good news is it looks like sports are returning, and it looks like there'll at least be a percentage of fans that will be able to enjoy the experience when they do return. And hopefully baseball is one of those things that returns. And if it doesn't, can the sport recover? And most importantly, because this is a show in H-Town, what are the different questions and the different situations the Astros are going to have to overcome? We'll cuss and discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Hey, like you got to do tomorrow, you don't have to go to work.
How does baseball recover from not playing this year? Do you think that baseball could recover from this? We've seen strikes. We've seen baseball fail to progress. John, you covered the sport for a long time. I've watched the sport. It was my first love. Can baseball, with this opportunity that we've been talking about for weeks, if baseball, for whatever reason, regardless of whose side you're on, it doesn't matter. Could baseball recover from not playing in 2020?
I think it would be a lot more difficult than 1994. I heard Darren Rovell with the morning show last week, I believe, talking about how he was one of the guys in the 94 strike that had had enough and left baseball. I think it was Darren Rovell. I don't want to get it wrong. And never really watch baseball again. I think that was an exception. I think most people said, I think just in life in general, I'm never going to that restaurant again. Then you see them there the next week, you know. Right. We all have a few things that we actually live up to it, the threat. I think baseball, there were some people who said they weren't ever going to go back to the game and didn't, but it's a very, very, very small number. But just to finish my point, Landry.
Go ahead.
That it's going to be a lot easier to stay away in this era because of how many different opportunities for entertainment do you have? How many new sports, much less, more popular sports now? The NBA is more popular than baseball. It wasn't in 1994. The NFL is 100 times more popular than baseball. It wasn't in 1994. There's all these gaming things going on. I sounded like an old man. I sounded like an old man when I said that. You know, all these gaming.
These gaming things?
These old gaming things are happening. What's that newfangled cellular telephone device you have? I knew it as soon as I said it. But, all the gaming going on. There's all sorts of other sports that are, X game type sports and summertime. There's all kinds. Women's sports are all over. It's They're playing with fire here. They really are.
I think there's two types of people during this pandemic. There's the guys like me, and I'll only speak for myself, that this 2 months without sports, it's made me want sports even more. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty as hell for sports. Like, I am a thirsty skank for sports right now without sports. I want it more than I have ever. Yeah, I know it's March, Biggie.
Pretty graphic.
I know it's March. But I am so thirsty for sports right now. And there's also other people who, while they might have loved sports before, they've realized that without sports, I got some other stuff that I can do. I'm spending more time with my family. I have all these options that you just mentioned. And they have that. So there's different types of people. Baseball, if after all this and after all the stuff people have gone through, if baseball does not play, regardless of why, there's going to be some people that are very, very put off by baseball. But mm-hmm. I want to localize it.
Okay.
In this town, with what the Astros mean to this town, with what they've done for this town, and the players, I could list them all, everything they've done in the community, with them giving us a championship in this city amidst Hurricane Harvey and everything going on there, with all the joy that they've given us, with mm-hmm. all the controversy that the Astros have endured in the offseason, and how a lot of people have defended them in this town because you defend them to the death, what would the impact be here? Because the Astros are different here than a lot of teams in their community. And there are a lot of teams that love their baseball team.
Yeah.
But the Astros are, number one, they're the best team in town. Number mm-hmm. two, they're probably the most likable team in town, at least here, not outside. What about the Astros themselves as an organization? If baseball can't recover and baseball has that black eye, what about the Astros here? Do they get more leniency? Or do people kind of start looking at the Astros and maybe holding stuff against them that they didn't before, where you have it in the back pocket? Well, these guys are cheaters anyways. Forget them. They're greedy.
Right.
So on and so forth.
I think it obviously varies, you know, in some cases. But if you're just going to say, how are the Astros going to be received if this happens and they're gone a year and people start getting distracted and some people get alienated? And, oh, by the way, your minor league system is getting gutted as we speak. Hundreds of minor leaguers getting cut, and who knows what that's going to do for your future. I think if I had to guess, it won't be that much different in Houston than anywhere else. It's going to be hard. It'll be really. I didn't even mention, like some of these other in-town sports here in Houston that and across the country. And in 1994, soccer was not as big as it was, as it is now in this country. I mean, there's all kinds of other options now, and it's going to be really, really – baseball is playing with fire. I can't emphasize that enough.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. And, I mean, that's a fan's perspective. That's a media perspective that we just discussed. From just an Astros organizational standpoint, in the front office, the decisions they're going to have to make, I don't want to say that they're more difficult than what other teams are dealing with. But it's going to be very difficult for James Click, the new GM, mm-hmm. and Jim Crane to make some tough decisions that are going to impact the Astros moving forward. Because we believe that the Astros right now, they do have a World Series window. I mean, they just lost the World Series in 7 games. They won the World Series a couple of years ago. So they do have a World Series window.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no games this year, they're going to have to make decisions blindly on Michael Brantley, their starting left fielder, and their two-hitter. George Springer, the World Series MVP and their leadoff hitter, and then Josh Reddick in right field. So they're going to have to make decisions about all of their starting outfielders without seeing these guys even take a swing
right.
in 2020, assuming the season doesn't go on. And a big part of that decision is going to be their top prospect, Kyle Tucker,
right.
who could have used a year in the minor leagues, and maybe you would have gotten a look at him and seen if he was a guy you could trust and maybe allow one of those guys to go. If you don't have baseball in 2020, your entire outfield, you're going to have to make decisions about, and your top prospect, and you haven't even seen those guys play ball yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't even have a grasp of what Kyle Tucker is. And, oh, by the way, you get that extra year of service time, I believe. So, Kyle Tucker, the clock's going to be ticking even more as to whether or not you're going to bleep or get off the pot when it comes to him. That's a tough decision to make, especially when you have – those are tough decisions to make, especially when you have a World Series window like the Astros do.
I think Kyle Tucker is the toughest decision. You mentioned a bunch of them. Because Tucker, his play has been so erratic, unpredictable, and still young. And is he as good as you think he is? And you got to make a decision all of a sudden on a contract. But then there's the other contracts. And the reality is that the Astros organization is going to, and others, if they're interested in signing Astros players, are going to have to figure out how much they were helped when they were cheating, how much their numbers were really, you know, juiced, no pun intended, when they were cheating. I mean, you said it earlier. Correa flat out said he benefited, and so now it's going to enter into contract talk.
But there's belief that they didn't cheat in 2019.
There is.
Do you believe that?
There's a bridge in Brooklyn too.
COG John Lopez, he got jokes. He's opening for Kevin Hart tonight. Virtual comedy with the OG and Kevin Hart. Yuli Gurriel also going to be a free agent. You're going to have to decide about Yuli, a guy in his mid-30s, without seeing him play. A lot of times this is the age where guys fall off a cliff. You have to decide that. And then, assuming that the players do return in 2021, Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke mm-hmm. are going to be in the final year of their deals, as is Roberto Osuna, as is Lance McCullers, and as is Carlos Correa. So you're going to have the top three pitchers in your rotation right now,
mm-hmm.
Verlander, Greinke, and McCullers in the final year of their deal. With 1 year without pitching, you're going to have your closer, Roberto Osuna, in the final year of his deal. All these guys have been all-stars recently. And then you're going to have Carlos Correa in the final year of his deal. Dude, I mean, everyone's going to be impacted by this, but mm-hmm. it's hard to imagine,
anyone more than the Astros.
Yeah, especially with this World Series window that they have. We mm-hmm. need baseball here. And the league needs it, but we need it. We need it more than anybody here in H-Town, because these are some tough decisions that are going to have to be made.
Well, let me ask you this. You have, is it two 36-year-old pitchers? How old is Verlander and Greinke?
They're both 36, 37. They're older.
I think they're both 36 years old. What is a year off do for their future? I mean, Greinke's, you pointed out how much gazillion dollars that guy's
quarter
made.
Quarter of a billion.
Quarter of a billion dollars.
So
he's
is
made.
Verlander. But Verlander says he's chasing history.
I understand that. But if you're out for a year and you got to crank it back up, really more than a year it would be, you got to crank it back up and you're sitting on mounds of money. Does that impact just their futures in general? Forget how they play, but their futures in general.
Nobody's talking about guy on the text line.
All right.
Yeah, it is interesting. Everyone's going to be impacted, but
nobody's talking about guys.
This is from 1990. This is the insight that we love on the text line. We absolutely appreciate all the feedback from Loophole. 713-572-4610. You know what, guys? That's life. Things happen unexpectedly, but life goes on.
Yeah, nobody talks about that.
Thank you so much, dude.
We can wrap up the show now.
Oh, okay. There you go. Thank you, 1990. That's the kind of stuff that I like to.
Woo, I gotta sit down. I gotta sit. Hold on. I'm getting a little dizzy. Gotta hold on to the table. That's white hot. That is white hot.
You know what? We talk about TJ Maxx signs. I'm gonna go. Because I got some projects I got to do. I'm going to paint a table this weekend, and I'm gonna patch a hole. I'm going to go to Home Depot, and I'm going to get me a sign, and I am going to paint. I'm going to paint, quotes, "You know what, guys? That's life. Things happen unexpectedly, but life goes on." And then I'm going to put the quote, "At 1990.
Max Life at TJ Maxx.
Yeah, I just tell you, you can't. Yeah, that is a philosopher right there.
Mind blown.
Mind blown. Would you hire A.J. Hinch after
second.
This season?
In a second.
So if they don't play this year, A.J. Hinch, boom, come on.
I'm hiring.
That's it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, Luno was the bad guy here, man. Hinch obviously participated, but I think I'd take him back in a heartbeat.
Bring him back. Yeah. A.J.
Would you?
Calm down. I like Dusty.
Well, I like Dusty. Nothing against you. No offense, Dusty.
Take your
all due respect,
toothpicks out of here.
I'll give you a giant brand new case of customized toothpicks.
I think he's already got those. I don't think he needs those, though. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. One of my favorite things to do could become a hell of a lot cheaper. Let's talk about the gambling impact that is going to be felt with everything we're going through right now. A much needed visit with our guy Lee Sterling next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
And one of my favorite things to do, go to Las Vegas. Love me some Las Vegas. During football season, I'll go to Las Vegas as often as possible. Sometimes it gets pricey, though. But I got to wonder if I might be going to Las Vegas even more than usual. Because I
more
feel like
or less.
More. Maybe not gambling as much. But I feel like the price of these trips is going to go down.
Oh, that's for sure.
Could I interest you in some stats?
God, you know what they say about numbers.
Numbers are hot.
Courtesy of Darren Revelle, who's on with Payne and Pendergast Thursdays at 9:40. This is a year-to-year comparison of what Las Vegas casinos made in April of this year compared to April of last year.
Okay.
This year, Nevada, not even Las Vegas, Nevada casinos in April 2020 made $3.6 million.
It seems a little light.
Does it?
Yeah.
You sure?
Seems a little light for the entire state in terms of gambling.
3.6 milli. Last year, in April of 2019, Nevada casinos made $936.4 million.
So it was a little light. I've been chatting with Sean Pendergast on this. You know, you're always looking for silver lining, you know, benefits in the long term, et cetera. I think this is going to open up the entire country, all 50 states, to online gaming and gambling in terms of Texas. I mean, all 50 states, but like you can sit here in Houston, Texas, and you'll be able to play craps online via the MGM Grand app or whatever. Pick your favorite hotel. Those people in Vegas are very, very powerful and have a lot of friends in Washington. I want to ask Lee Sterling about this. I think this is going to kind of juice that a little bit, and there'll be online and casino gambling, type gambling on your phone or your device or your laptop or whatever.
I think there already is, though.
No, but American Las Vegas casinos. Right now, you have to go overseas. It's overseas apps and banks and everything else. I think that's going to be one of the things that's happening.
You know what else might happen?
What's that?
Some other stuff might be legalized that's legalized in other states. There might be a little bit more of a rush to legalize some stuff.
Like what?
That makes a lot of money.
Don't leave me hanging.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Are you talking about prostitution?
Oh, not prostitution. I'm just saying there's...
Some
states have come around on it.
I'm not...
Gambling, and there's something else that makes a lot of money.
I'm curious the line that you're going to connect there from the pandemic to that. How do you think that would happen?
It makes more money. You make money.
Okay.
The money, John. Okay. Follow the damn money. What kind of journalism student are you? My goodness.
I'm one that's graduated.
I think the Marahucci and the gambling could be legalized in Texas because of this.
I think online gambling is going to be...
Lopez, I got that marijuana, man.
It's going to be an absolute... I also think that liquor laws are going to stay relaxed. I think liquor laws...
You mean going and picking up a margarita or something?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, curbside delivery...
I mean, dude, like, why would that not be legal anyways?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's the way
what
it's
is that
be.
What is that doing for anything?
Nothing.
Like, yeah, are you telling me that Johnny, who's going out to party and goes to the gas station all of a sudden and goes and gets a couple 32 ounces for $4 or whatever it is, you think Johnny's taking those 32 ounces and just like, oh, let me put these in the bag and in the trunk?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just as easy to do that than it is to go to Chili's or something like that and get a beer. To go,
exactly.
If you're gonna be irresponsible, you're gonna be irresponsible. But my God, you go down the street to the corner store, you get the beer, and what is the stupidest thing about getting that 32 ounce?
You know my theory on this.
They act like this is like preventing something from going on. Like, oh my gosh!
So you get the beer, and they have a little brown paper bag that fits just perfectly into that 32-ounce Coors Light. So now you can wave it around while you're driving with impunity. I mean, you can just like, oh yeah, they'll never know that this
to see here.
They'll never know this is a beer in this small paper brown paper bag because I'm hiding it. Officer pulls up next to you, nods his head. Well, how you doing, sir?
Toast him.
He says, how you doing, sir? He looks at you and he goes, I thought you might be drinking a beer, but I don't see one.
It might be an Arizona iced tea.
I don't see a beer. I know you're holding a brown paper bag. I'm not going to rush to judgment. Nah, he's not holding a beer.
Man, I will say, though, like,
that is the worst thing in society right now.
It's dumb. It's dumbest
thing.
And this might not be something that the OGS really thinks about, but like when you go to a restaurant or a bar, like assuming that they do keep the liquor laws loose, like when you pay $10 for like a drink, like a premium drink, mm-hmm. when you're sitting down at the bar, it seems more justifiable than getting it to go. Am I wrong?
Like, how so?
I don't know, man. It just doesn't feel like if I'm paying $12 for a cocktail, I just don't feel like the styrofoam thing is the same.
I think what the
presentation, all that, it's just not there.
No, you're right. It's just not there, the environment and all that. But what I'm saying is because they need these avenues for revenue streams, these liquor laws are going to stay relaxed. I also think, to your point, sometimes you just want that one place margarita. You know, they make it like no one else, you know, so you got to have El Tempo margarita.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that'll run you about 12 bucks.
So you go there, you go there.
Yeah, but I want to sit at the bar and drink it if I'm at El Tempo. By the way, when you go to El Tempo, you know what you got to do with the marg, right? This is easy.
What's that?
You got to go half and half.
Oh, salt?
No, half and half on the frozen damn rocks. Because then
I've done that.
Frozen is the ice. Then the ice will water it down. You got to go half and half.
I go half and half on the salt. Just half the rim of salt. That way you can regulate it.
Why don't you just take it off with your finger, John?
No, because you got to regulate it with your mouth.
So you say, let me get half of my rim with salt.
Yeah, except that's I don't say order. It quite like that.
That's your order.
Yeah, I want a margarita rocks, half the rim of salt. Because that way
you're joking.
How much? No, I'm not. This is to try it. Because how many times have you gotten a margarita?
I don't get salt.
How many times?
Okay. I don't get salt.
Do you get salt in your margaritas?
Sugar.
On your margaritas?
Yeah. On the
rim. Some people do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how many times have you gotten a margarita with salt on it?
You guys are embarrassed.
And when you drink it, it's just too much salt.
I'm embarrassed to go to El Tiempo with y'all.
Well, you won't.
I mean, you're going to be sitting there going, yes, can I get half my rim with salt, please?
Again,
just half.
I won't be doing it quite like that.
And then Figgy's going to say, I want sugar instead of sugar.
They always ask.
As if salt, you don't.
They ask for salt or sugar?
Yeah.
Figgy.
Yeah.
How much you want to put on that? I've never been asked, do you want sugar or salt at El Tiempo?
On the rim?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe on a strawberry one.
Maybe it's the black bars I go to.
I don't know if it's black or Hispanic or what, but I can promise you when I go to El Tiempo, it's salt or rocks.
Half
you want
salt.
Rock,
half
you want
rim
frozen
salt.
Or rocks, and do you want salt? It's a yes or no. It's not do you want sugar or salt. It doesn't happen, Figgy. It does not happen.
Just if you like salt, just get half. You can regulate it with your tongue.
Half. What the hell is wrong with you?
Your mouth.
Weird. Dude, I used to go to this Mexican restaurant with my friend Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I would go to the restroom every time he'd order. Because it was so embarrassing.
Oh, really?
Dude, it was so
Was he, like, real picky?
Yeah, his name was Marvin Lethbridge. Mm. And his cousin,
I already don't like him.
Well, his cousin was actually Zebby Lethbridge that used to play for Texas Tech.
I remember that guy.
And, well, he got, like, $20 million from Dillard's because they accused him of stealing.
Really?
He did. You can look it up. Zebby Lethbridge.
Mm, what kind of person is Zebby Lethbridge?
He is an African-American male, and he got his $20 million.
Because they thought he was stealing?
You can accuse me of stealing, too. If I'm going to get 20 mil. But Marvin, we would go to the Mexican restaurant. Mm-hmm. We would go to a hood Mexican restaurant in Lubbock. There were some
Those
places.
Those are the best ones.
Dollar margaritas. Yeah. Like the menu was in Spanish. Marvin would sit there and try to explain to these people that could not even speak English his order. And it was so embarrassing. It would be like, yes, I want cheese enchiladas.
Oh, no.
But instead of the stuff that y'all use, I want y'all to use the queso as the sauce. And instead of the chicken normally use, swear to God, and instead of the chicken that you use on the enchiladas, I want you to use like the fajita chicken that you cook fajitas with. And they would just be sitting there looking at this dude like, what is this guy talking about?
Why don't
you
open your own restaurant?
Dude, he wanted the fajita, the fajita chicken, and then he wanted them to use the queso that they had. I'm not going to lie, if they got it right, it looked good. But sometimes they didn't get it right. You can't go to a hood spot, a hood Mexican restaurant, and not speak Spanish and sit there and speak that broken English and get what you want.
My good, that's
embarrassing.
I've seen people do
absolutely
like
embarrassing.
A little too far, but that's way beyond.
Absolutely embarrassing. But you would go to his place in the East Side, and like I think his parents lived there. Like I think it was like a block. It was on the East Side of Lubbock, and like the whole block was like his relatives. But you go through there, mm-hmm. like and. Damn, y'all got some nice cars, dude. Damn, I didn't even know that BMW came out.
Yeah, it's not yet.
It's a dealer's money. 713-572-4610. So embarrassing when that goes down. By the way, when I try to speak Spanish when I'm ordering at a Mexican restaurant, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's absolutely a good thing. Absolutely a good thing. People always appreciate the effort that you're trying to speak Spanish. They always appreciate that.
The sugar thing. Figgy's getting no love on the sugar thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's talking
Every
about.
Time I order a margarita, they ask salt or sugar.
What? What?
OG orders his margarita saying, I'd like a nice buttery Chardonnay. Don't knock it until you try it. I'm going to give you a list. I'll bring y'all. I know you're on a little wine kick right now, Figgy. I'll bring you a nice... buttery Chardonnay.
Okay.
Yeah, hold him to that, Figgy.
I will.
Let's figure out about my Vegas trips real quick. I want to figure out if I'm going to be taking more trips than usual. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports joining us right now. Lee, so I'm looking at these stats in regards to Las Vegas casinos. How much money they made last year, damn near $1 billion in April to like $4 million. This month?
Yeah.
Does this mean that my Vegas trips might be cheaper now? I know you're not an economic guy. I mean, we talk about gambling, but just based on your expertise, like I'm going to be able to go to Vegas cheaper this year during football season, right?
Absolutely, actually. I'm a finance major.
Okay.
Yeah, you look at the supply and demand and right now, if you're ready to book a trip to Vegas, there's some flights that are cheap. I found some trips. I'm thinking about possibly going out to my place in Park City in July and found some trips round trip for under $200.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
So you're going to be able to fly out there cheaper. If you're ready to book something probably in the next 30 to 45 days, you're going to be able to stay cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to be a little bit looser with the comps. So... okay. I say do it. I you know what? I'm an optimist. I think I'm looking at the glasses half full.
There you go. Me too.
I think that we're going to see college football and the NFL. Now, we might see a few teams drop out because the students aren't attending classes. Maybe a San Jose State here.
Yeah, who cares?
Western Michigan.
Who cares? That's who.
Yeah. UConn and UMass to just drop, football together or go down to the FCS class. So you might have 124 out of 130 teams playing football. They might have a few teams playing 11 games instead of 12, but I think we're going to play football. And I'm going to guess that we're going to probably have at least 50% or more people in the stands. So when you go to those Texas games or those Texan games or those Aggie games, I have a feeling we're going to be at least 50% full and maybe close to 100% occupancy. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think people did the right thing with social distancing, and it can only get better.
Lee, what about the impact of, even a 50% full stadium? That's not, 100K strong at Baton Rouge. How does the betting line get impacted in pro football and college football with half, you know, half empty stadiums. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's much of an impact there, or is it more so in college than pro or anything?
Absolutely in college. These kids, I mean, it's you see runs in college football. There's a team that can start off scoring 14 points. Their opponent can score 50 in a row. I mean, it happens. When the tide starts turning in college football, and crowds playing at home is instrumental. Even in the pros, I mean, there's a couple places like Seattle. I mean, you play in Seattle as an opponent, you can count on at least two or three extra illegal procedure penalties. Mm-hmm. So you have to factor that in. But also look at good coaching staffs. You have a returning quarterback, and you maybe put in your system. I think it's going to help out. But from what I'm hearing, college football, they're not going to have the normal 4 weeks of a preseason camp, probably 6 weeks. And I think you're going to see in the NFL, they're going to allow teams to carry an extra 5 to 7 players. And I can tell you this undoubtedly for sure. You're going to see every NFL team carry 3 quarterbacks, and they won't be
staying.
Oh, yeah,
I hadn't thought of that.
Yep, you got to have 3 quarterbacks, and you're going to make sure they're all not staying together. You're not going to have any of the quarterbacks staying with another quarterback on the road. You can't take a chance of having your number 1 and number 2 quarterback going down sick.
What is gambling going to look like? And I'll preface it with this part. You build you have expertise, but you build your seasons in large part on spring games and scouting preseason.
Yep.
You directly are being affected. So how is gambling going to look?
So I think it's going to be a little bit tougher from that standpoint. You have the unknown. The more I see and I can study, I feel I have an advantage. So missing out on those spring games and watching the emerging players will hurt a little bit. I might go out on the road. I might go watch some. Don't be surprised if we see teams like Texas scrimmaging Texas State. Maybe 2 weeks before the first game. They might allow some scrimmages with teams that are close in proximity to each other. So I might have to go check some of those out if it happens. Yeah. You got to do what you got to do to get an edge.
One other thing I have just in terms of Las Vegas, which obviously Landry just laid out the numbers that are incredibly low this April. Is one of the hidden benefits, if there is one, legalized gambling and gaming in every state online?
Yeah, I think it's going to help it. I think you're going to see states, they're going to need the income, and it's going to be, they're quicker to pass. I think once the fall starts and they see football's back up again, I think you're going to see these state legislators be much, much easier, much more relaxed and passing sports gambling. And hey, we all need the income now. People are going through some tough times, and people need a little bit of a something to take their mind off, you know, losing their jobs or all the other hardships that people are facing. So I think it's great. I think we're going to see hockey and NBA lead us off, and then the NFL and college football. So hey, no fans, which I don't think is going to happen. But maybe, 20 to 50% fans in the stadium, I think, is a lot better than nothing at all. And I need something. Let me tell you something. I don't mind watching TV, but, the Tiger King just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. It's kind of old, too, man. We haven't seen that. Give us something, though, Lee, because people want to make wagers. Like, are there any dog races that you like or anything like that for the weekend?
I don't do dogs. I don't do curling. Hey. I don't do Korean baseball.
It all pays the same. It all pays the same.
I don't have an expertise. What I do, so one of my employees is a former MMA fighter, and we've been doing UFC fights. He is incredible, and now I've got the time. So we study these cards. We've won 8 of the last. We haven't lost a card since last November in the UFC. So we have a card Saturday night. The feature fight, Tyrone Woodley fighting Gilbert Burns. He's minus 170 in the headline fight. The chosen one, I just think he's too much for Gilbert Burns. Sometimes you got to take your biases aside. He is probably, if not my least favorite, one of my two least favorite fighters, but Tyrone Woodley is going to smother Gilbert Burns and win easily. And another one, this fight's in the middle of the card. How about this nickname, Spike the Alpha Ginger Carlisle.
Oh, the Alpha Ginger.
It's a cocky ass nickname.
Yeah, well, he's not gonna put the fear in too many people. I think he must be trained by Ron Howard or something.
Strike the ginger, okay?
Yeah, he's going up against Billy Quarantillo. I like the Alpha Ginger Spike Carlisle here plus 120, nice underdog.
So
to
you're
get
betting
the win.
On the red. You're betting on the redhead alpha, huh?
No, going against. Yeah, we're going with him. We're going with the redheaded alpha.
So,
yeah.
So in a change of events, the redheaded stepchild is actually going to be doing the beating.
Gosh. Yeah, he is. He's a kicker and a wrestler, and Billy Quarantillo is susceptible to head kicks. So this is going to be the fighter of the night either way, and I'm going to predict the Alpha Ginger is going to win by a TKO with a head kick.
Hey, let me ask you this before we get your information in case anybody wants to jump on that. If you had to pick today, who would be the top NBA favorite because of the layoff? How much changes, if anything?
I think the Lakers are the favorite, but I will tell you this. It's going to be very tough for top-tier teams to win and cover by the spread that they normally do. Playing in an antiseptic, small, practice-type arena for basketball, for a playoff game, is really tough. And that home court advantage is not going to be there. I know everyone likes the three best teams, and they'll probably end up in the finals. Will be the Lakers or the Clippers in the West and Milwaukee in the East. But you could see some surprises in the first round. You could see a Portland taking a first round, something like that. So, you know, maybe another team, maybe someone like Brooklyn, you know, they're getting back some players. So, hockey, I mean, you get a goaltender, he gets hot, he can stand on his head and win 2-3 rounds. So I'll be looking at some live underdogs if they're not playing with fans. And, hey, thank you know what, it looks like sports is back.
Give the people a phone number so that they can get in on the action, especially when it picks up, Lee.
Well, if they want to call me, just call me here at the office, 800-400-9741. How about this, Mike? I have a UFC card tomorrow night, 5 selections, and I love the card so much I give you 2 free ones there. We have 5 other selections, and I rate my plays from 10 to 50 units. On our 40 to 50-unit plays in football and basketball, over 75% the last decade. First ever 50-unit selection. It's available right now, 5 selections in the UFC, $55. It's all available. ParamountSports.com.
There you go.
Lee Sterling.
That's
Paramount
good hearing
Sports.
Your voice.
Appreciate it.
You too, guys. We'll be in touch.
The redheaded alpha. That's what we're going with. Yeah. I don't know if I'm bet on a redheaded guy.
Especially the nickname.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Come on, redheaded alpha.
I don't know. I wanted a dog race, honestly, but don't always get what you want.
You can't always get what you want.
Oh, it's a song. Who sang that?
That would be your Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones, okay. Damn, they have a lot of hits.
Yeah, it's just in. Breaking.
Breaking news, Rolling Stones have a lot of hits. Let's go around the NFL. Let's talk about the restructuring of a Houston Texan player that will prevent a 3-time Pro Bowler from coming here, as well as a $1 billion deal in the NFL that could cause one company to finally get off their ass. Around the NFL next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.